Good morning. We're just singing the song, Shout to the Lord. There was a line in there that we sang together. It said, let every breath, let all that I am, never cease to worship you. When you think about the reality of, why are we here? I mean, not just here at church today, maybe in part, but why are we here on the earth? When you think about why you come to church or why you come to a worship service or why you're even existing, why are you breathing? Why are you thinking right now? I happened to go to my chiropractor this week and he was telling me of a conversation he had with a friend of his who said, I'm an atheist. Don't talk to me about God. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's any reason that we're here. You start to contemplate, that's a very interesting thought, then why do anything? If we're just here by chance, that somehow random chance, that somehow rock decided that it didn't like just being a rock and it decided somehow to have intelligence. And somehow it decided to produce all these fruits and things. It's like my son Jack said, how are potatoes grown? Is that how potatoes are grown? You know, because when you want to grow a potato, you know what you do? You take the whole potato and you cut it in pieces, and the eyes are the seeds. Well, how did that begin? It's a great question for the atheist. How did it begin? If somebody didn't make it, how did it begin? But the question could be asked of us too then. Well, if we're not here by random chance, if we are here on purpose, if we are here for a purpose, how do we stay on that course? How do we progress along in the way? How do we do what God would want us to do? If there is a Creator God and we are His creation, why did He make us? I want us to kind of get philosophical because sometimes in life you have to take an accounting of where you are and the direction you're heading. Last week, Scott and I talked about the direction. We asked people the week before to talk about the direction, things that they learned, things that they want to apply in their lives. But the one thing that has really struck me coming off the feast, thinking about the messages, thinking about the lessons I was hearing from you, thinking about the things I was taking accounting of in my own life, is where are we heading? Where are we heading in terms of what matters to God? Where is your passion for God today? As you sit here today, if you look at your relationship with God, would you say it is very strong? Would you say it needs to be worked on? Would you say it's been neglected? Where would you put your relationship with God today? Because the first great commandment is that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If the first great commandment is that you are to have a love for God, I would ask you, is your life a reflection of that kind of devotion? Sometimes people say, let's get real. Let's get real about things. All right, let's get real. Why are you here? Why are you alive? Is it to have this relationship with God? Were you made to have a relationship with God? If you are, how important should that be in the level of things in your life? You know, it's an interesting thing. I like to read church histories. I read what people write about their churches. I read current things. I read things from the 1700s and the 1800s. I like to go back. I read the things in the Scripture. It's an interesting thing how many times you can hear thoughts about people saying, we need to pray more. When you think about your time of prayer, sometimes it can be a daunting thing for some people, depending on where your faith is in God. But when you think about the time you spend with God, how valuable is it? If you believe there's a Creator, you believe you've been saved by Christ, You believe that you are here for a reason. You're believing that God exists and loves you and cares for you. And you believe that the primary purpose you've been made is to have fellowship and relationship with this creator of the universe. Then how important is it to be spending time with Him in prayer? I would say of all the things that the devil wants to devour from your life, it's prayer. He wants to cut it out. He wants it to not be part of your daily walk. He wants you to not spend the time because you're too busy getting up and ready to go to work or school. You're too busy taking care of the kids. You're too busy putting meals together. You're too busy going shopping for your clothes. You're too busy going to your job. You're too busy with this distraction, that distraction, and every distraction in life. And there's times where I look back and I just kind of contemplate and meditate and I say, this is where Satan gets happy. Happy time is a church that doesn't pray. Happy time is a church that doesn't prioritize time with God. Because if He can distract us, even with good things, to keep us away from the Great One, He can keep us very powerless in so many ways. There's a pouring out of heart and life before God. There's no substitute for it. At the Bible study this week, as Carolyn was mentioning, we were talking about Bible study, how profound it is that all the creative work that God is doing in us is by His Word. Now, we have the written Word that God has given us, that we study, that we look to. But if we don't have a relationship with God in the process, the Word can fall on deaf ears or hardened hearts or people who don't really see the person of God in it. And as somebody who's gone through a walk with God now for many years, I can tell you there are times when it's good to back off Bible study and spend a little more time praying. There's no substitute for it. There is no substitute for your time with God. I'm here to encourage us in this path today. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice here in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Now, if I can encourage you in anything to take from this today, I want you to think about growing in prayer in the constancy of it. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, and everything in between, that there be a constancy in your walk with God and developing a relationship with Him, to talk with Him, to walk with Him throughout the day. The reality of life is that there are so many things, so many cares of this world, so many things that can crowd out God. And if you say, well, the one thing that I can't let happen in my life, as I look at my life here today, as I think about who I am, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, my strength. That word love, it's that word agape. It means having a care for God. To think about God and think about what does He want? Now sometimes, friends, where we start is not thinking about loving God. It is simply thinking about what God can do. Now it's a very interesting thing the way God works this with us having kids. We talked about this a little bit last week. When a child is born, they are so completely dependent on the parent for everything. I can tell you, when I first came to a realization as a young man how important prayer was, it was very life-changing for me to go through the process. Now, I knew I should pray since the time I was a little kid. My mother was very faithful to pray with me. But as I grew as a teenager, prayer seemed boring. It wasn't a fun thing to do, to stop what I was doing to have fun to pray. And I remember being 15, 16 years old, and it was just like, it was checking off a box. Did I pray? When I got to college, I was encouraged to pray, but oftentimes, again, being 18, 19, it was checking a box. How long did I spend praying today? How long did, could I come up with something to talk to God about for 15 minutes, for 20 minutes? You guys ever have that as teenagers? Say, sometimes you're like, what do I talk about? Because I'm not getting the interaction back that I might with a human being. I'm not getting that immediacy of response that I'm used to. I don't see a person. I'm not necessarily looking into someone's eyes. And I would get bored with it. But I wanted to pray because I wanted to be a godly person. And so I prayed 17 minutes today. I prayed 22 minutes. And I remember thinking this way as a young man. And getting longer in the time I could spend praying, but I'm not really sure if anything was happening after the first minute. Because about the best I was really doing was showing up. I was showing up, but I didn't understand what was happening. So as I kind of got hit with this as a young man, I realized that there was something missing in the relationship. That all my time and attention to detail of time, checking off a box of praying, checking off the boxes of life, it was building in a religion of things that were good, seemingly, but where was the heart? And I was struck with the fact that I was just like a Pharisee. You know, Jesus said, oh, you make your phylacteries big. You make your tassels real long. You come and you have a pretense. You take the best seats. You say your prayers every day and religiously, right at the right time. And you do all these things. But do you actually see me? You can go through a lot of religious practices. Friends, it can be as distracting from God in a relationship with Him as all the lusts of the world. Because in them is so many times contained the pride of life that it puffs you up falsely to make you think you have a relationship with God when all you have is a relationship with doing stuff. I'm not talking about that today. I'm asking you to search your heart. I'm asking you to search for God. So as a young man, as I realized this, and I realized the course I'm heading on is a course away from God and into religious practice, I decided to do a very simple thing. I decided that instead of just doing the morning prayer and a prayer at night, you know, before bed, when I was kind of tired in the morning, tired at night, I'm going to select a prime cut of my time for God. I said, you know, we put our kids, our Bronte at that time, I almost always have a time at 8 o'clock. And at 8 o'clock, instead of turning on a hockey game or a football game or a baseball game or a movie or whatever it is, that 8 o'clock time, that's kind of my time, that time's going to go to God. I'll tell you, that was the best decision I've ever made. It has changed my whole life. And what I did was I went outside to the backyard where we were living in Illinois at the time. And I looked up into the heavens and I realized God made all these things. All the stars that were gleaming, all the things that I was looking at. Here I was on this little ball spinning around in outer space. And God had made this whole tabernacle for me to come out and to begin to talk to Him. And I'm like, I don't even know God. I've been trying to pray so religiously. I've been trying to pray biblically. But it hasn't been getting through to me sharing anything with you or you figuring out. So here's what's going to happen. Here's who I am. Here's who I am. And I just start telling God about what my thoughts were about this or that, what I did that day, the things that were on my heart, things that were on my mind. And I would just continue to share and share and share. And you know what was interesting about those times was that I didn't have to clock watch. It was as if God was enjoying the moments and He was letting me know. And it went on as I would pray and in the night, taking select cuts, the best cuts of time for God. That I would get more and more open with Him. I got more and more revealed. And it became not just telling Him about my day or the things that I was thinking. It got into very deep things. Things that I wanted God to know about what was going on inside. And as I did this, I would come face to face sometimes with great selfishness. Sometimes with great emptiness. With great yearning for things and frustrations that I would have. And through all this process, as God, and I'm just sharing with God and opening up to God and asking Him, anytime you want to start talking with me, I'm ready. But until then, I'm just going to keep telling you all that I have to share. You've written down a lot for me. I'm just going to tell you all that I have. He would bring this about. And after some time doing this, many weeks, months, I don't remember the exact period of time now, how far it went on. I had the aha moment. All this time we're getting to know each other. And I'm telling you all about me. And I realize, man, it really is all about me. Why isn't it all about you? I was sharing so much of my life, and I was wondering, where was my heart for God in all of this? Now, the thing is, I truly believe that just like with a little child, it has to start, it has to be pretty much all about them. If you don't take care of all their needs, where do you go from there? They depend on you for the food and the clothing and the nurturing and the love and the care. God doesn't despise that about you. He knows who you are. He knew who I was in all those moments. I know He loved. Because it was just being honest. It was just being open. It was just saying who I was. But in the process of all these things happening, what God was doing was starting to open up my eyes to see Him. And then the reflections I was having on myself started to change. From being motivated, what can I do, to being motivated, what are you doing, God? And how everything can change in the moment when you realize, I love you, God. I love your goodness. I love that you're not selfish. I love that you're always honorable. I love that you're just. I love that you on your throne will listen to me talk about my little insignificant day. I love that you have care for the little things, for the big things. That you have care for everything in life. Have you given God the choice cuts of your life? Or are you giving Him the leftovers? One of the most beautiful things is when God said, when you go in and you select of your flock, make sure when you choose out a sacrifice for me, it's not blemished. It's not bruised. It's not diseased. That it's a good offering. So the realization that I would kept giving God my leftover scraps says something. But those times when you can just commune with God, where you take a walk outside your house, so to speak, and it's just you and Him. There's a peace to be found in that, a life to be found with Him. You can't compare. And you realize that in the foundation of prayer, you have a relationship, and a relationship that is there for the glory of God and for the peace and development of your whole life. God wants to perfect something within us. He wants to transform us. He wants to shape us. And the way He does it is when we stop what we're doing to gaze upon His face, to worship the Creator, he begins this whole process of transformation. The process of knowing Him, of loving Him. Turn with me back to the book of Psalm chapter 61. Psalm 61 and verse 1. It says, written by David. Psalm 61 verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. See right there. If you've been spending time in prayer, you know how deep that phrase goes. In those moments, in those times when you come before God and you feel so much need, and hear my cry. When you realize who you are, and as you stand before God, you feel completely vulnerable before Him. When you have humbled yourself before God, you see the greatness of Him, and you realize how in need in every area of life He is. You know, before I started praying to God and giving Him best cuts of my life, I didn't realize how bad my need was. I was the blind. I was seeking Him. I was zealous for Him. But it wasn't according to knowledge. You know, I was like Paul says in Romans, that Israel, they seek the Lord. There's a zealousness, but there was no knowledge in it. It wasn't leading them in their practice to Him. I was there. And I didn't realize the desperateness. But as you come before God more and more, you actually end up realizing, man, what was I thinking? I was so blind to how much I need you, God, in everything. In everything. This breath is based on God's good grace toward me. My sight, my hearing, my anything. I'm only here because He decided it would be so. And it is in this need that we find reality. I said, let's be real. When you come before God, it's you and Him. And you say, hear my cry, God. And by faith, we know He hears. By faith, we know we can come. By faith, we know we can go before Him. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to You. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How many of you feel even right now that your heart feels overwhelmed about something? Anybody? I'm glad most of you are unburdened. That's a good thing. My work is done here. How many of you think that you might find a time when you'll feel a little overwhelmed?
How many have you been?
Maybe again. I want you to sense the openness of David, a man of prayer, when he says, from the end of the earth I will cry to You. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Just meditate on that a minute. For the moments that we feel overwhelmed, for the moments that we feel we can't go on, for the moments we feel like, what am I doing? What's all this worth? What's all this about? For the moments you say, does any of it matter? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take me into Your special place. Realize God wants to bring you near. And what He's waiting on is for you to say, here I am, to draw near. It's very interesting that the promises, God sent His words out to call. God goes out to choose. But then He says, draw near to Me and I'll draw near to you. Seek Me and you shall find Me. But He also says, if you forsake Me, I will forsake you. He won't force you into this relationship with Him. It's not part of His plan or purpose for you. He won't make you do it. God won't make you take the time to pray. God won't make you take the time to seek Him. God won't make you spend time with Him if that's not what you want to do. But you won't be changed. You won't know this help. You won't know His ways if you don't. But the choice is yours. See, the beautiful thing about coming to Christ is having your blinders taken off to see this truth. that you now have the choice that you can choose God or not. He wants us to make a good choice. Verse 3, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Psalm 62. Notice here in verse 5, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Pour out your heart before him. Would you say this characterizes your life with God now? I'm asking you, are you pouring out your heart before him? Are you trusting him for the things in your life? For if indeed we have a Creator who so loves us, who in his word says, pour it out. Let me know all that you want. Let me know all that you have. Let's work through it together. Let's sift through it. You realize our Father in heaven loves us so much. What he's saying is, share with me what's going on in you. And then let's sift through the pieces of it together. Do you want God's counsel? He wants to give the counsel. Do you want God to go through your life, the ways that you live, the way you see things, the attitudes that you have, the actions that you're going through in life? Do you want God to sift through it with you? I think it's the greatest promise that man can receive. That God, who so loves us, saves us, spares us, and then says, pour it all out. Let's go through it. You want to know the way? I'm showing it to you. You realize that even what we're doing here today, this meeting, came from a pouring out of heart. It came from a pouring out of heart. Scott, Carolyn, Stephanie, and I, we'd get down on our knees together. We would pray, well, God, what do you want us to do? You lead it. You show us. You guide us. Garrett and I used to go and pray outside on a mountain every Friday morning. Friday morning Bible study started as Friday morning prayer morning. We'd go out to beautiful places in nature and just pour our hearts out to God. It's where those things get birthed. We have a kindredness and a friendship because we have both been exposed before God, so to speak. Not physically. Just make sure that's clear. There was no Davidic dancing going on in those meetings. But the openness of prayer to just say, God, here's who I am. Here's what we need. Things in life begin with just saying, here it is, God. Now, I'm amazed when I look at all the things in my life where I've been able to pour out my heart to God and to hear Him answer. Maybe the reason that we fail to pour out our hearts to God and open ourselves up is we don't believe that He will answer us. Because I think if we believe that He would answer us, it would give us the inspiration to keep going and to keep seeking until we have. Even if the answer is no, it gives you the fortitude and the faith to keep going on. I think so many times in my life where things I prayed for desperately, I didn't know if I was going to get them or not, where God had to come through. Now my business Fresh Concepts, I told you this. I'll give you a financial story. God led me at an early age to tithe. In fact, when I first started tithing, I was paying 3 tithes. I was saving a tithe to give to God. I was saving a tithe so I could go to keep God's feast. And I was saving a tithe to give to widows and orphans. I've never been without money in my life. Never. I've never even been close. I did that when I was making $10 a week, $30 a week, $100 a week, $180, my first full-time gig, $180. Yeah, that's right. I did that. Right? Got out of college, and then with, you know, all that experience, $400 a week after I worked for a year without pay, and somehow I still made it through. I've never been without money. But there have been times when I thought I might be. There have been times when I thought I was going out of business. There were times I thought I was going to be without sustenance for my family. When we first moved back out here in 1998, I had the conversation, Steph, we might lose this house. Why did God bring us here? So we would lose the house. What's going on? Because my business was about ready to go completely out. It was amazing how many clients we lost in a matter of 6 months. It was like totally sifting out, right? Water through our fingers. It all started when I went to Argentina. God had led me to Argentina. How? Through prayer. I felt inspired to go. I felt spoken to. I knew exactly where I was going, who I was going to see, what I was going to do. It came through prayer. But while I was there, I got a call. Hey, we lost this account. I got back. Hey, we lost that account, this account. Every week, I was scared to go to the mailbox because I knew somebody else was going to fire us. And pretty much that was the course for the next 6 months. It just kept happening over and over and over again. And here we were in the process of a move to California in the midst of all that. But you know, when you have the chance to go before God and know that He is the provider, and no matter what you're facing, you can say, I don't need to look at the way the clouds are today, as it says in Ecclesiastes. I don't need to look at the patterns of the wind and the weather to determine whether God's going to bless me. All I need to do is look at God. Because He sends His rain on the just and the unjust. He is kind to the unthankful and even the evil. And here I come before Him as a son saying, be kind to me, help me, bless me. And you know, He did. We prayed specifically for accounts He gave unto us. And we had enough to live comfortably. But living comfortably wasn't it. Ministry was the course. It had always been the course. And as God was calling me into ministry, and I would go out in my backyard and I would lift up my eyes to the hills and look to God, and I'd say, God, where are you taking me in all of this? I want to serve you. I want to minister for you. I want to do it all. But here's the deal, God. I don't want to take a penny from anybody. I want it to be for you that no one would ever be charged for a single thing. Will you make this deal with me? That you will bless me so much in business that I never have to take a penny to serve anybody with your word. Will you let me do that? I have a spreadsheet I like to go through with Stephanie, a little chart. So here's where Rock Valley started. Here's where our income was. A few people started coming. I had a little more. The more people that come, the more my income kept going up. It's crazy the way that it's gone up. If you look back since we started Rock Valley to where it is today and where the business has gone. We started Rock Valley in 2005. And the business, it's multiplied many times. And many times I didn't have the time to do it. People say, well, how do you work the business? Or how do you study the Bible? How do you come up with sermons? Well, here's my secret. When I want something, I ask God for it. I specifically ask God for specific accounts. I'll say, I want this account. I've done that 3 times, and 3 times they called me. I got the work because other people told me, call this man now, they're ready for you, go. You will never convince me that God doesn't exist. You will never convince me that God doesn't answer. You will never convince me that if you ask in faith, believing that our God can't do anything He wants. And not only that, but that He loves you enough to think about whether that gift at that time is for you or not. Because I can tell you things of faith, I can tell you things of healing, I can tell you things of financial, relational, I can tell you so many things that have happened in my life, I don't even know where to begin to start. I have 100 stories filling my heart saying, this is what I want to share with you. I don't know which one to go to next. Because the Lord God Almighty is in heaven on His throne, and He is desirous that people will come and seek His face and ask for what you would have. It is in your asking that you will find your heart. It is in asking that you will find your God. It is in asking that you will find all the things that He wants you to know in life and have a relationship with Him. Relationships begin with asking. Asking the questions. Who are you? Why are you? Why are you here? What are you doing? Where are you from? What kind of work do you do? You begin with questions. You begin with asking. Turn with me to the book of John. I want you to notice something. As Jesus is winding up His ministry, He spent all this time now on the earth, 3 years or so, however long it was, with His disciples. He's teaching them, He's showing them what to do, and He's sending them out with power. He's finishing up His ministry. Here He is on the night in which He is going to be betrayed. He knows He's going to be taken, falsely accused, beaten, beard pulled out, punched, spit upon, mocked. He's going to be falsely accused. He's going to be beaten, scourged, bruised. He's going to be crucified all within the next 24 hours. And this is what He wants to tell us. So when I hear this, I hope you saints hear the same thing. Perk up. This is important stuff. Because these were His last words before all those terrible events preceding His death were going to take place. John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. I want those works. Do you believe that? Was Jesus telling the truth or was He lying? Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. True or false? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. True or false? Okay, so two times there. He says, whatever you ask in verse 13 in my name, that I will do. Verse 14, just to make sure we're clear. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's the second time. Turn over with me to John chapter 15. Let's take a look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. True or false? You sure? Do you believe that? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See, I think that belief in that would bring us before Him quite a bit, wouldn't it? I think there's a big motivation there. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. Verse 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. True. So notice again, you didn't choose me, I chose you, appointed you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that, notice, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. You were chosen to ask. You were appointed to ask. You were appointed to bear fruit. How can you do that without asking? That would be my question. How can you bear fruit without asking? Who gives the increase? Who gives the blessing? Who gives the life? Who gives the things that you need and want in life? It's God. Chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. True or false? Wow. Verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Six times we just read, Jesus commands us to ask, or says, ask, and says, if you'll ask, this is what will happen. But the last time it's a command, ask. He taught this, remember, even in Matthew 5, ask, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Do you believe these things? See, this isn't about religion, is it? It's a very personal thing. This is a father saying to his children, you need something? Ask in Jesus' name. I'm here to give it to you. He said he'd give you the things that you desire, the things that you ask for, things that you want. I can testify, I've seen it many times. I personally experienced these verses in my life. I'm not sharing this based on a theory. I'm telling you based on fact. My only shame before you today is I don't ask enough and big enough. So I need to change. Keeping it real. How do we come before God? What are we asking Him for? Are we making the time to ask? Let's look at one more verse here. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. I'm giving you seven places in the Scripture where He says to do this. 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Do you have the confidence in Him? Do you have the confidence? Linda does. Do you have the confidence? You can ask anything. The confidence that we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15, if we know that He hears us, well, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. Why? Because He says if you ask according to His will, you know He hears. And then if He hears, you know you get what you asked for. I want us to think about the seven verses we read. It said there some conditions. It said when you ask, are you abiding in His Word? Right? Back in John 15, 7, said, if His Word abides in you and you ask, you're going to receive. There's a question. Here's where people start to doubt. And doubt has to be addressed. Because where people doubt is because they're saying, okay, well, do I abide in His Word? We need to address that question. Okay? Second, according to His will. He says, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you, and you know you're going to get what you've asked for. How do you begin to know God's will? Start asking. Start asking. That's the transformation process that comes through prayer. Start asking. Start talking. Start conversing. Start thinking. God, can you answer this prayer? Notice with me here in 1 John, since we're here in verse chapter 3. Chapter 3, I'll give you promise number 8. Verse of promise number 8. Verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 John 3, 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Are you doing that? Are you abiding in His Word? Are you keeping His commandments and doing what pleases Him? Are you asking according to His will? See, we know instinctively if we're not following God, we're not walking with Him, we're going to create the doubt. That's where the doubt comes from. The confidence we have is when we know we're walking with Him, we know when we ask, it's according to His will. There's an amazing thing that happens as we walk with God, that our desires begin to change, the things we want begin to change, and our will becomes a reflection of God's will. So that when we ask, We're asking in the right way. I didn't ask for those accounts as a test of God. I didn't ask of those accounts of Him just to prove a point. I asked because I wanted it for the purpose that my company would grow, that I could have more staff, that I could end up spending more time in ministry. And every stage is progressing as I build a staff that, God willing, I will spend less time on work and more time on ministry. And then I don't have to take the pennies from anybody else. Or maybe someday God will say, no, I'm going to humble you so that you will take it. He's done that to me before. He said, take an offering from somebody I didn't want to take an offering from. And I took it because He wanted me to. But that's not what I've asked for. That's not the deal I asked for. And God has answered and He's shown me He will continue to provide for me. So I don't have to take that. But notice what happens if we do these things. Turn with me over to John chapter 14 again. John 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask, it's going to be done, that the Father would receive the glory. He's going to be praised by you. He's going to be praised by those who know the answers. He's going to sit. People will see and know He's going to receive the glory for it. That's a great reason to be asking. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. So why ask? What's going to happen? So that you have fruit that remains. You can't produce fruit without asking. God has to be giving you that fruit. And in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Because God wants to give to you. He's wanting to give to you. All this relationship, all the reason we're here is because God wants you to be here and wants to have a relationship with you and wants to give you the things that He has. All of it. Go back to the origins in your mind of the cosmos beginning. When God was thinking of you from the foundations of the earth, He was thinking, I want to give to you of the things I possess. My eternal life, my holiness, my righteousness, my justice, my goodness. I want children who are kind and loving and giving and generous. Everything that He was dreaming of happens by you asking in prayer. And this is where it all gets revealed. In James chapter 4, turn with me there. In James chapter 4, he says, where do wars and strifes come from? This is verse 1 of James 4. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? In other words, you want to know where every war comes from, every conflict, every fight, every bit of strife. It's because people want what they want without consideration of how it affects anybody else. That's what it is. Every war, every bit of theft, stealing, murder, harm, mayhem that goes on. I want what I want. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care who's hurt by it. That's the epitome of selfishness. He says, you lust and do not have, verse 2. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. That's very interesting, isn't it? He's saying, you keep wanting something, and I would be willing to give it to you if you asked me. But you decided to take it for yourself. In whose image were you made? God's. Were you made like God? In His image and in His likeness? What did the serpent offer Eve? He said, if you take of the fruit, well, you'll be like God. God was already making you like Him. I want to say to Eve, do you see that? I want to say to myself, do you see it? He's already wanting to make you in His image and likeness. The plan is God's. What the serpent offered was saying, take, disobey, take it for yourself. You make yourself like God. And it has led to every bit of harm. Why do people lust and not have? They murder, they covet, they cannot obtain. They want something. Right? He goes on about adulterers, adulteresses. What do they want? Why commit adultery? Why be unfaithful? You want something you can't have. So you take. But the realization is, what you want that you don't possess is something God wants to give you anyway. If you went through Him to obtain it. You want to be happier in your marriage? God can give you happiness in your marriage. You want to have a good relationship? God can give it to you. You don't have to go outside of His law to find what you want. He's saying you don't have because you don't ask. You go out to covet, to take, to seize by yourself, by your own mind, by your own will. But all along, the things that you want, a good life, a blessed life, I'm wanting to give it to you. Don't you understand? God's saying, I want you to be in my image and likeness. I want you to receive my blessing. You've got to come and ask. Ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Remember what I said when I started praying? I realized how many of the things that I started talking to God about what I want. Well, God, I want this. Well, God, I want that. Well, God, I'd love to have this. This would be awesome. This would be great. And what you realize, you're like, okay, why? God's question is why? Parents, you ever ask that question of your kids? You want something, why? A lot of times, when you're raising kids, they don't always see the why. Sometimes they know what they want, but they're not sure really why or what the fruit of having that will be. Sometimes parents see better. But parents, are we the same with God? Do we understand and trust in His wisdom that maybe He knows what we ask for? Maybe there are things where we're asking amiss to suspend it on our own pleasures. That's why He says, ask according to my will. And then you know that you will have what you ask for. Our desires are tempered through the word and will of God. But friends, you have to ask. You have to ask. I know we're going to be talking about this subject more. I know we are. I'm scratching the surface here today. But if I can leave you with something, if you say there is something that I found when I went to Rock Valley Christian Church that I heard David speak, he left me with this one thing. That I need to go before God, that I need to open up my heart to Him, and I need to begin to ask. Ask for what you want. Ask Him questions about Himself. Ask Him what He wants. Ask Him. It's where you will discover His will, His ways. It's where you'll get honest and real with God. There are so many facades of religious practice that can keep you away from the simplicity and purity of a relationship with Jesus Christ, with a relationship with God your Father. We can throw everything else out, guys. If we don't have this, we have nothing. Every bit of growth, prosperity, blessing, development that's right, where fruit is produced and remains, is something that comes from God. It's not to be found anywhere else. I don't want to produce fruit and have it be devoured by something else. I want it to be something that is stored in heaven. I know that's what you want too. I'm asking you to let go of your time, whatever it's being spent on. If it's all being consumed in keeping you from prayer, whether it's homework, whether it's your work, your housework, even doing good works to other people, let it go for God. If you don't have your house in order with God first, everything else is going to become a mess. Don't fall prey to the lie that it's all good, that I can avoid God, that I cannot be spending time drawing near to Him, and that somehow it'll go on just okay. That's one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves. It's all going on okay. Because usually what happens is you find out the whole foundation of everything that was going okay isn't there. And all of it, that whole house, can come crumbling down in a moment. Jesus is our foundation. In Him we live and move and have our being. And if there's one thing that we say about this church, let it be that this is a church that asks God, that seeks His face, that yearns for Him, that desires Him. And the beautiful thing is, the more we seek, the more He draws near. Coming here, I love you guys, but I want God here more powerfully. I want more of His presence in us. I want a spirit of love so pervading that no one can deny God is in our midst. So we will ask to see our selfishness. We will ask to see our faults. We will ask so we can repent. And we will ask so we can receive all the good things that God wants us to have according to His will. And we will bless His name and we will praise Him. We will offer up unending thanksgiving to Him as we worship Him for all the good things He gives us.